I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome back, or welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition, a live edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are here, Corey and myself, and a special guest and referee, Eric Sinich from the Van Halen News Desk. We are here doing part two, so if you missed part one, please go back and listen to it. If you're joining us live, hi, we haven't gone anywhere. We're still here. We are still here. We are here with the DLR cast folks and the Bogus Oda Show guys. I don't want to spoil too much, but if you've tuned into part two, you've clicked on part two, then you've already seen that part one. We've covered that song, so I don't have to really spoil anything. You've seen it. There it is. We covered Jump. There you go. So now it's time to get into the Sammy Hagar era. Corey, what are you hoping to get out of this next portion of the Sammy era?
Well, we need an all-time Sammy classic, right? We had an all-time Dave classic on the first show. And we got the Bogus Otis boys here, Brent Kinnard and Darren Bristow. Big fan of your show. Of course, we had them on the show before, and they spun a Dave tune. Finally, they're going to get a chance to talk about a Sammy Hagar song on our Van Halen podcast here. I listened to your latest episode, guys, and you guys killed it, as always. But for all the folks watching live, you guys are teasing a big guest that you're going to announce on Saturday. I'm not expecting you to drop it here, but is there any kind of hints, anything you want to kind of plug or promote coming up?
I don't know. Darren and I did not talk about this, and thank you for the kind words about the show. We are kind of teasing episode 13, which is our finale for season one. But we did kind of casually talk about, do we actually drop it for the folks live here tonight, and then everybody else finds out as well. Darren, what do you think? Should we share?
Go for it, man. I think you should go for it. Do it.
All right.
Wow, exclusive.
Okay. All right. Here it is. News fresh, hot off the presses right here. Episode 13 to finish season one of the Bogus Oda Show. Our very special guest who kills at making cocktails, definitely drives her car faster than 55. And she knows a thing or two about shoes. Our special guest is none other than Velma Hagar, Sammy Hagar's older sister.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's cool, man. That is cool.
Yeah, we spent an awesome hour with her and had a ton of fun and a great chat. And I think everybody's going to love that episode.
She's a great lady. What a gem.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What a way to finish off season one of the Bogus Oda Show. What are some of your highlights from the first 12 episodes you guys have recorded here?
Oh, man. We just had a blast. We had a great conversation with CJ Chilvers, the author of the Van Halen Encyclopedia. I had the very good fortune, and my only sadness with this is that my partner Darren wasn't with me. I was down in Cabo San Lucas in November, and we got to spend some time with and interview Jorge Viana, who's Sammy's partner in the Cabo Wabo. That was, you know, just a out of body experience for me, absolutely. But I think, you know, the best part for me is my partner Darren and I, we just had a blast just hanging out and chatting and having fun.
Yeah. I was really excited about the Sammy's soundtracks and movie songs we've been going through and breaking some of them down and getting into the actual some of the guitar parts and components. That was a lot of fun, man. It's been a great year so far. Enjoyed meeting you guys too, man. Everyone here, we really enjoy your shows.
Likewise.
That's off to you guys.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm gonna give a quick little plug for my partner Darren here. This guy always undersells himself, and so I'm here to make sure that he's oversold. He is a dude who is an incredibly talented musician, has some really cool little nuggets about a lot of these songs, and he's got some inside info when we start talking about Chickenfoot too. Some cool stories coming up from Darren there, so props to my partner.
Nice. I can't wait. Yeah. And the latest show, on the soundtracks, you covered heavy metal and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Great episode. I encourage everyone to go check that out. And of course, we have the DLR cast guys here, Darren and Steven. Fantastic episode there. You go away for a little bit for the holidays, and then Dave drops, he dropped another Van Halen cover. He dropped four episodes of the Roth show. Tons of stuff going on in DLR's world, right?
Yeah.
Naturally. It seems to happen that way.
it's big jumps of activity, then big periods of silence when you least expect them, and vice versa. So there's always rumors going around, and it can be really hard to discern what's legitimate and what's not. But Steve and I, we have no idea if there's going to be 12 more Roth show episodes or if this is his new thing or if he just gives up after another one or two. No idea.
We work without a net.
Do you guys just text each other or call and say, we got to do another episode?
Yeah,
Well,
we plan this stuff out, try to, but of late, when there's this activity, I mean, I'll get a text from him or, you know, the other day I said, hey, a new Roth episode dropped. And it was, you know, I mean, when something, especially when there's nothing going on and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we got something to talk about. Let's just jump on it, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you guys are busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. So it must be like, okay, we got to squeeze some time in. Like, okay, we'll give it like 45 minutes.
I'm always texting Darren saying, come on, dude, more. I need another one. Let's go.
You know, some episodes we really don't have much to talk about except, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Dave does blank? And then there's other episodes where there's like 12 blips of things to cover. And, you know, sometimes tips come in from our listeners. Sometimes I hear a rumor and I reach out to somebody in Dave's camp. Every episode's kind of different for better and for worse.
Well, it's great stuff. And I know in the last episode, you guys talked about fans are getting on you for being negative. I don't see it as being negative so much as it is just being truthful. Nobody knows what the fuck David Lee Roth is doing nowadays. Like, even the people in his camp have no idea, right?
Hey, we are fans. We're not fanboys.
There you go.
I swear to you, the people that I talk to that work with him, they don't know his next move. They don't have, like, the next 9 months of the calendar. There's nothing like that. It's really such a tight inner circle and with no leaks possible.
That's crazy. And Eric Senich, you're doing a little podcast there yourself.
Yeah, Booked on Rock. Just put up an episode with Jason Aldean's drummer, Rich Redman. Really cool guy.
I know Rich.
Do you know Rich?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's right, because he's from your area, Nashville.
Yeah, he is.
And he's originally from Connecticut.
Solid drummer.
Oh, yeah, man. He's like Modern Drummer Magazine Drummer of the Year like 5-6 times.
And a hilarious dude, just as a fun little side.
Yeah, and he does a whole bunch of stuff, podcast, you know, obviously the drumming, and he's got another book coming out in May. So we had him on. Basically, it's at least an episode per week. You know, I got it primarily it's interviews with authors of books on classic rock, but there are times when I have, you know, like you guys have been on and I want to have the, Bogus Otis guys on too at some point in the future, just like a chill and chat at times. But most of it is authors of books and they're talking about that book and promoting it. And it just, it's a lot of fun, man. It's, we just had one with somebody who wrote a book on Yoko Ono. So that goes up. It'll be up by the time I think. Well, this is live, but if you're listening to this on audio, and it's probably up by now. So a lot of fun. BookedOnRock.com. You can get all the info there. B-O-O-K-E-D on rock.com. And, of course, VHND.com.
I was just going to say, Eric, I mean, first of all, speaking of, you know, for both of us, Brent and I, we're all fans of all your podcasts. And I want to, you know, thank you for having us again. We want to have you guys on our show. And I also want to say, Eric, thank you for giving us, you know, kind of give us a rocket launch on the Van Halen news desk. So thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah, we're happy to do that. Jeff is the one who tipped me to it, too, because you guys reached out to Jeff first. And I wanted to do it anyway. And we love it, man. Anytime there's a podcast that comes up that's Van Halen related, you know, it just keeps the legacy of the band going. And and they're so fun to listen to. I get so hooked on listening, especially like when this all that stuff is going down with Dave. You know, I'm listening to Terry and Steve, like, what are they going to say next? And so it's the same with the Bogus Otis guys. Like, I love the CJ Chilvers one. He brought up a great point about Van Halen 3, if you guys remember this, maybe, where he talked about how Al and Ed were big fans of, you know, like the progressive rock and stuff, and that was kind of Ed and Al's way of having some fun with that, with Van Halen 3, which I never heard that before.
But tell you what, Kevin Brown's helping you do your job here tonight, Eric, is there any merch available on the Van Halen news desk website?
You know what, it's funny you say that. Yeah.
No, you can get this shirt there, because that's where I got mine.
You see, now Mark, they're pulling me in on this, you know. I try to be good. vanhalenstore.com. yeah, vanhalenstore.com. you can get a whole bunch of things, like the bar EVH bar stool. Right, get that back there.
Is this one for sale still? Can you? When, is this one coming back or?
Oh, was that on the? Was that in the store?
No, time? I don't know. I'm just kidding. No, I
don't. Yeah, you know, Jeff Hausman's so cool, man. Like, he hooks. I got the 5150 clock behind me. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, VanHalenStore.com.
How do you get on his Christmas list? Jeez, I could use some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think we should get a torch, like a Van Halen torch. So, you know, we're carrying the Van Halen torch.
Yes.
What do you think?
Absolutely. That's a nice. Good idea.
Or a Van Halen flag. Actually, you guys can see it behind. That's the actual tour banner from 1984 a friend of mine gave me.
Nice.
I don't know if you can see it. Maybe move this over. See it there?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Nice. So,
anyway.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, we've covered the David Lee Roth era tune for the show, and now it's time for Sammy. The manifestations are in, but you know what? I'll go ahead and throw a bone because I'm feeling generous. If there's a different sort of manifestation, please say it now. Or do you all want to keep what you had in mind already? Let's see. Darren, Brent, we'll start with you guys. You're the Bogus Otis show. What say you?
I'm sticking with my original feeling off of balance. Yeah.
All right.
I thought for sure you're going to go for Amsterdam.
But... Well, if we spin that one, we'll get a surprise other guest. So we'll just, you know, maybe fingers crossed. We'll
see. She was in the chat earlier. So
he was. She's around. She's around. She's somewhere. We'll throw it to Steven and Darren at DLR. What say you guys? Do you have a Sammy track you'd like for the wheel to spin?
Go ahead, Darren.
Any track?
Refresh my memory.
What if it's a song Sammy sings better by the Roth era? How about that? What about that?
What songs are those? Hey.
Did someone mention earlier that you guys that humans being has never come up?
Never come
it,
up.
It hasn't yet.
Not yet. Right. That's a regular for me. That's one of my favorites. Absolutely love that song. It's so goddamn powerful. And I'll take almost anything off of balance because I've grown to re-love. I've been kind of rediscovered that album a couple years ago, and I think it's better than people might passing fans might remember.
Gary keeps asking for Inside. We've covered Inside. Get over it. We didn't like it.
It's like, no, it's done. It's not coming back. We're done with it. So that's well, with Steven's input, that's another vote for humans being. The answer,
Mark,
Jeff,
you see that?
Why does Mark's wine glass seem never ending? He doesn't know you.
Because I'll tell you the secret. You just never let it get empty. You only have one glass of wine. See how that works?
Spanked you, wankers. Not gonna
I learned
happen.
That from Nick Nolte. Anyway. Corey, you want to get that wheel primed and ready, and then we'll get Sammy to warm up yet again, and we'll get right down to it.
All right. Well, everyone is yelling for 5150, so I'm not going to shuffle it 5,150 times, but I will shuffle it 11 because 5150. So let's find my shuffle button here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I should actually bring it in so you guys can see. That would help, eh? What kind of producer am I? There's the wheel. All right,
an extraordinary
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We are sitting on, and the cradle will rock. Somebody get me Doctors right up there too, and Little Dreamer underneath. Let's see if any of those come up. It won't matter. We're picking a Sammy tune. Here we go. Who wanted 5150? Who wanted 5150? Wow. There it is. Wow. 5150.
Wow. Nice.
Called it.
Unbelievable. Ending. Wow. And so the chat manifested that, and all the people who commented on Twitter, they manifested 5150. Wow.
What a song. What it's a epic. Song.
Epic song indeed. Well, there you go. So no more complaints. I don't want to hear any complaints in the chat anymore for the rest of the night. Okay, we spun it. There it is. It's time to talk about it. But before we get into it, any words to impart before we get into the nitty gritty from anybody? Feel free to chime in.
If you're a guitar player, it's really hard to play.
Yes.
Right.
But when you figure it out in pieces, it's one of the most fun songs to play.
Yeah, I remember my buddies back in the day, their guitars were like, that song is fucking hard to play. Yeah,
it's already hard. We got This Is Rigged.
Oh, This Is Rigged.
You're watching the wheel spin, right?
Like you literally just, yeah, I don't know what's, yeah, I give up.
Who were flag.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah,
there's a flag on the play.
Throw the red flag. Get him out of here.
Kevin Brown says 5150 better than Jump. We'll find out. I tell you, two good tracks to compare with our front man here.
We needed it.
What do you say? You guys ready to hear a little 5150?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Let's do her.
This is not a Sammy thing. This is an Eddie thing. I think this tone is killer. And if you play this song on guitar and get the tone just sounded right, there's a chord that just finished right there. It's actually not a chord, but he's playing the songs, picking them individually. But when he does it, they still ring out. And it actually sounds like an overdubbed chord just on that one spot. It's so thick. It's killer. Mm. That's what, whenever I try to play this, I was trying to see if I can capture that. It's really difficult, but it sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's such a cool opening, like a boogie riff, and then to see what it leads into, it's like a whole nother song.
It's a good workout song too, apparently.
Yeah, 20 times, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the live version from Live Without a Net.
That was life-changing, right?
Oh,
my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Musicians love this song. Audiences don't get it from the cover bands. There you go. Kevin wants to know, how many bars is in that riff? Crazy.
It's great. When he plays it in Live Without a Net, he's running around. Like he's running around. Yeah. Like he's a superhero with no cape, right? Hmm. Like it's crazy. Yeah.
Here's a question for the experts on the panel. Is it true that the lyrics are about Eddie's relationship with Dave?
I've always thought that.
Yeah.
Sammy came up with the lyrics. I mean, it's just obviously the 5150 reference to the studio. and then they name the album, but it's also a relationship that there's always that one person that's it's not 50-50. There's always somebody that wants a little bit more than the other, and it's just not working out. But I never heard the reference to Dave. No, I guess Sammy wrote the lyrics. I don't think he was gonna. He didn't want to have anything to do with Dave. I didn't think he wanted to
see. That's why I thought, because I mean, obviously the song's after Eddie's home studio, but I always felt it was before I learned that fact. I thought it was about Roth. Because it's instead of 50-50, it's 51-50. So I thought, you know, one person was taking it past the line. Right?
Oh, interesting.
Could be.
That's
could
how be. I always thought it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it could very well be. Yeah. I mean, he's never
would
said.
Would it be 51-49? But you see what I'm saying, right?
Right.
I don't think he's ever said on the record, you know, any specifics other than just that, you know, that there's a reference to Eddie's studio and also just the unbalanced relationship.
Let's be honest, though, for a second. That is not the first complicated relationship Sammy had. He had a lot of bad things to say about Ronnie Montrose before they patched things up.
Yeah.
Some of his former bandmates will endlessly say nice things about him, and then others will not. I don't want to name names right there. And then his first marriage did not end the nicest, most diplomatic public way as well.
Betsy?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, there's another comment I'm reading here. The song is about taking a chance on love. I guess you could say, hey, however you want to, take it, however you perceive it to be, I guess.
Nothing but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reminded right away that I always thought it was odd that this song is at the back of the record. I mean.
Oh, nice. You're going to the live one.
It's but do you know what I mean? What is it? It's one of the last tracks, right? Track
it
eight,
is, yeah.
Seven, right?
Yep. Deep
and
track,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's one of my favorites from the album, maybe my favorite.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can hear that. I sooner would think you'd hear it on you would hear it, you know, in the beginning somewhere. Could have been a good opener.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not at the solo yet, but when we get to the solo, like, if you behind the solo, there's a rhythm track that's just spectacular, right?
Yeah.
And just
in the verses, just the monstrous riff that he's playing there. It's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, Darren and I have even talked about, as amazing as the solo is on this tune, the live version on Live Without a Net, the solo is different from the studio recording, and he does some pretty cool little harmonic things that just it blows us away every time
goosebumps,
we see it.
Goosebumps, man.
Yeah.
Absolute goosebumps. I ripped that concert onto a CD and I'd play it so many times. I'd just skip to those. Now I have it on my phone. Skip right to that and Summer Night Solo.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Epic.
Yeah.
Go vacation home. You always have the whole place to yourself.
Corey's trying to find the live version.
Just you and your people.
Here we go. Yeah, that venue's no longer around. New Haven. Coliseum, about 45 minutes from where I live here.
I went to a lot of shows there. It was crappy back then, but it was I loved it.
Oh my God, I went to see Kiss in 89 there, and you're way up. You know, I was way up in those seats. I was like, holy shit, man.
I saw Kiss on the Crazy Nights tour. That was the first time I saw
Kiss. Crazy Nights. Okay. I was 3 years later for the Hide Your Heart tour. Yeah. They tore it down.
Darren said something earlier, which I think is really interesting. You know, we did a little deep dive on an episode all about Live Without a Net a few episodes ago. And we keep talking about how this iteration of the band, Sammy first joining 1986, 51-52, was like, they were so happy. They were jumping around like maniacs. They were having a blast. But at the same time, this song still for me is like, it's a bit dirty. As much as it's happy and upbeat, it's kind of got a bit of a dark side to it. I feel like too.
Yeah.
Some of the lyrics point towards, you know, something that's not ended, or there's an unresolution, or nothing, something unresolved, right? There's, I love the song even for the lyrics too.
Yeah. Did everybody hear me? Just want to make sure.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, I was coming through. I was muted at one point, but Jonathan says still on mute. I want to make sure. Now I've been monkeying around with everything, that everything is still working here.
One thing I always loved about this song, and I'm reminded of it right away, is that it takes a while for the lyrics to come in, right? I mean, it's got this long intro of just this killer guitar. Always love that. And then I'm sure this is something, of course, that's always discussed ad nauseum. I'm reminded right away how much I hate that drum sound. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It sounds like some cushions and those toms. But then it's redeemed because there's 15th time on this podcast I'm mentioning Alex's cymbal work. I mean, it's just absolutely love him riding that, and just that massive sound from it. So, you know,
I was
wondering, and the snare is still there.
Yeah. The snare is still there. Yeah.
I was wondering what the song would, or the album would sound like if they just went back and put, you know, a real acoustic drums to it, right?
What would the song sound like, you know, if it was done with Andy Johns on For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And it sounds just like Cocaine Feels, is what Chaz says.
Yeah, it's Chaz.
Yeah, and then Jonathan says, "Mark looks stoned. Mark, are you okay?"
I'm not stoned. I'm good.
I'm gonna steal the
conversation.
I'm gonna steal that.
John says, "Mark always looks like that. I like your shirt though."
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was just the times that they were in. You know, all those bands were doing it, and Alex just figured, hey, let's try it. Oh, cocaine.
Yes.
But yeah, they just that drum sound. You're right, man. It hasn't held up well over the years, unfortunately.
Ugh, the drums.
Yeah,
Kevin Brown remix 5150 and OU812.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to her. Mm-hmm. Harmonies.
So, I was just going to say, when he soars up to the top there, and then Eddie and Mikey come in at the back on top of that, it sounds like angelic, right? It just fits perfect.
Yeah, that's, man, what you hear when you get to the pearly gates. That's the sound that's playing.
Yes. Yes. Well,
Steve mentioned Stairway to Heaven. I'm sure this will come, it'll break the internet. I've always felt that this was Van Halen's Stairway. Like, it's just like an epic long opening. It kicks in and rocks, and it kind of comes back down again. I think this song is probably one of their best.
It's got a little stank on it, though. Like Kevin pointed out, the riff is pure filth. And it's got a little bit of stank on there.
Funk, you know, some funk in the middle part there.
From an arrangement standpoint, and just the way this song overall sounds to me, aside from maybe like Love Walks In and Dreams, this is the most adventurous song on the album.
Yeah.
Right? It starts off with one riff, then it goes into that nasty, dirty, just right when it kicks in the verses. Then it's got that gallop and speeds up. I mean, I've never gotten tired of this song. I mean, I'll go overboard without a life raft on this pretty quickly.
Hey, you know, speaking of Zeppelin, Scott points out a little bit, a whole lot of love in there.
Subconsciously,
maybe a little bit there.
And then Jonathan heard that the drums were recorded, and then the cymbals were recorded, and then it was all kind of separate and then put back together. I thought that was more OU812, but did that happen on 5150 as well?
The drums were recorded somewhere, then the cymbals recorded separate. Oh boy, I don't, that might be OU812. We'd have to check on that.
We're going to have to go to video replay on that one, right?
Yeah. Let's go to the replay.
Okay.
After
while you're doing that
review, I have no fucking clue.
You'd fit right into the NFL.
Yeah.
Mark's stroking his pussy on the air here. Kevin Brown says nice pussy. Yeah. Oh, red flag on that one, maybe.
Oh.
And John Mariano, who's maybe the best drummer I know, points out the cymbals are a shimmery instrument. So it's kind of an inside joke if you listen to all of our shows on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. So had to throw that in there.
Shameless plug.
What does everyone think of the chorus? Boy, that was a lot of fun.
I think it's one of their best.
100%.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. Again, it kind of adventurous in a weird way, naming it 5150. Could have called it Meet Me Halfway, or you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of cool like that.
Yeah, it's a bit less traditional in terms of the way that the song is structured. I think somebody said prog rock earlier too, and I've always thought there are a handful of songs in Van Halen's catalog that are kind of moving the needle in the prog rock direction, and this is definitely one for me. All the pace changes, speeding up, slowing down, different.
Cool. Jonathan's got a good point there. Props to Mick Jones. He pushed Sammy hard.
Yeah.
Sammy's like, that's as high as I can go. Just in general on that album, he's like, you could do it. You could do it like on Dreams, you know?
John points out he's a Diamond Dave guy, but 5150, better than Jump, sounds way more how I picture Van Halen. So, them is fighting words, I'm sure.
That John, he's the Skip Bayless of this program.
Damn right.
Controversial comments. On you.
Sorry, Eric, I thought you were cueing
the
me
cymbals. Oh, I'm sorry. I was doing the air cymbals. Ding, 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 ding.
But let's talk about Alex, man. That was some great shit there. Yeah.
He's so in the pocket on the song, too, right? Like, especially during the choruses. I'm not sorry, not the choruses. The verses. He's just so in the pocket behind the guitar there, right?
Yeah.
Talking lyrics, Tom points out, why draw the line to meet you half the way if you don't know what that means? Best Sammy lyric.
You know what's sick just to think of, like, how good Al was live up until that point, and he got sober on after this album. So starting in 08-12, moving forward, he's clean, he's sober. You wouldn't know. He never had a bad show.
Right.
I mean, never. Even in all the years following that, when in the 04 tour, you know, when Ed was a mess, and there was Al, man, just rock solid. It was like he never had a bad night. Never had, I mean.
Powered by small liquor.
Get back out there, Al. We got to see out there, man. Dude,
100%. Get back out there. Yeah, you pissed off John Mariano, though. He's got to go shower now.
Shower
Bayless?
Now.
Yeah, geez. Jeff says 5150 is definitely better than Jump. Probably Sammy's best all-around song. Well, you're not going to find much argument from people there.
Yeah.
Scott Haskin, I'm seeing speculation that the drums are electronic. He did play a lot of electronic drums in this era. It was more on OU812, though, right?
Yeah.
Electronic drums? He played more on 5150 electronic
did he?
Drums.
Okay.
Yeah, OU812 is back to more acoustic.
Back to more acoustic, yep.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
And is there anyone from this era who plays the bell better than Alex? Probably not.
From that era, no.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, was Blue Oyster Cult around during the cut? Yeah. Fellas, cowbell.
They gotta have more cowbell.
Don't know what that means.
All right.
Touchdown.
Game over. Begin? Big time.
Amazing.
His guitar playing there on this tune actually reminds me a lot of the Hot for Teacher guitar sound. Right. Little bits and pieces. Mm. Yeah.
You know
song
why?
Within because a song.
He's making that whammy bar his bitch. Just like Hot for
Teacher. And, but there's parts where he's like tasteful and like melodic, where he just hangs around a few notes and then he just like reckless abandon and then back to tasteful. And then it's like chord, there's some chord chugging. It's got it all. But like if you can learn this solo, in my mind, like you can play any other Van Halen.
Unreal. And Alex, and
what's Alex doing, right? He's keeping right up.
The footwork on that, right?
Yeah, the footwork.
And the chorus at the end. Oh, killer. Jesus.
Towards the end, he goes nuts. There's a part we're coming up to where he just goes insane at the end, right?
Yeah, that riff under the soul. Yeah, uh-huh. Jonathan. Yes. It makes up for the Genesis Invisible Touch part.
and it ends on a crazy reckless abandon, and then it comes to this great what better setup to turn the song around, right?
Falling down the stairs, landing on his feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it goes back into the main riff. It's like perfect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like four different songs in one, and it's the solo is longer than it you would probably expect it to be, right? I mean, how many more bars, right? It could have come in, it could have ended at a different point anywhere there. It's just, musically, it takes more chances and is more reckless, adventurous than anything on 1984, I think. And I'm obviously, I just think this is my favorite song on 5150.
Isn't it interesting though that this is like a combination of pieces of music and Ed makes it work. It works, yet he couldn't do it with Van Halen 3. Whereas Van Halen 3 does sound like different pieces of music, and it sounds disjointed and something's not flowing there. And I don't know if it's just,
I think it's Mick Jones. I think Mick Jones really had a great hand in all the Foreigner stuff and the melodies and just kind of come in and maybe shaping it. I know he came in kind of late, but I think he came in and what he did touch, I think he shaped it to be
on paper, if you were to write out 5150, you'd be like, nah, man, this is all over the place.
Yeah, I wonder how many bits of other songs that even maybe Sammy brought in parts of it, right? Who knows? The melody. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many bits of tape cobbled together, to come up not in the performance. I mean, it was like Eddie grabbing from different things. I remember.
But that's it. He had cassettes.
Right,
the floor,
exactly.
And he would just pop one in, pop another in, and Sammy's like, next, I like that.
Only he would remember that, man, I wrote this wild-ass bridge, back in 79 or something, right?
But that's Ed just 24-7 locked up in that studio, and Valerie's like, are you coming back? Are you going to come home? Dinner's ready 4 days ago.
Like, no, I'll be right there.
I've got seven meals I just had ready for you. You haven't come back.
Yeah. Chew on this real quick.
Yeah. I can just see him. I can see him and Al just all the time in that studio, And
why
wouldn't you? Their work ethic was that where if you were not anywhere close to that, Eddie would get pissed. Like that's what he said about Michael Anthony. He doesn't come and jam with us. Why is he here? And then when Sammy was, mid 90s, he gets married, he's got a kid. Sammy's like, I can't be there all the time. Come on, we got to jam. It's like, and he looked at it as what was the interview on MTV? And he's like, Sammy's work ethic sucks. All right. What did he say?
Well, there was always this clubhouse, you never go outside the family sort of mentality, right? Insular, so insulated. I mean, you could never play it, it was the band or nothing. You couldn't do a solo thing. You couldn't do this.
Eddie played on Michael Jackson's Beat It. Eddie played on, he did the movie soundtrack, Wildlife. I mean, stuff.
You can't do a solo thing unless you owe one album to Geffen.
Yeah. Okay, Corey, can you stop there for a sec?
You bet.
What is it you're hearing? You're hearing like.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A hissing sound. And I'm wondering if that's just coming from Ed's amp or something. What is that? It sounds...
It's, I think it's coming from the effect pedal that he's playing through.
Okay. I love that, though. I just feel like you're there. Yeah. It doesn't sound like the hissing of like an old school recording. It sounds...
It sounds like an amp that's like on 13.
Yes.
Like the air of it just being on.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. He's like, and he's right up against.
Yeah. Like you can put your hand and feel the air from it. Right?
Yeah. I love that, man. That's cool.
It's such a dichotomy. It's this killer rock song. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, but this super slick Mick Jones aided production, right? That almost dates it sound wise to my ear with those drums. But it's this weird kind of black and white sort of thing there.
Although
maybe that's what makes it great.
I'm not sure if Mick, I mean, maybe you guys will know more from what I've read, because I'm a huge fan of Foreigner too. And when I was reading to see how much Mick had to do with it, I think he kind of came in late. Some of these songs were already there. And I think the Simmons drums were already kind of in the mix before he kind of came in, I think. I could be wrong, but.
I believe that is the case, that he was filling in as the producer.
Yeah. Because I've often wondered that was the mix and the sound and those drums, was that him kind of bringing those in, or where do those come from? Because they just deviate for this album, and they're back to kind of normal again for OU812.
Corey, just a comment on, I think Tom made a comment about Ed booted Mike for playing with Sammy, yeah. Which is correct in later years. But the comment I was making was referring to back in the day when you go back to like 80, 81, 82, 83. And Ed would say in interviews, he didn't say it often, but he may have told Steve Rosen this, I can't recall. But it pissed him off to no end that Mike wasn't part of the songwriting process. And he said in one interview, he doesn't come in, he doesn't jam with us, he just shows up and records and then he leaves. And they just had it out for Mike. It was like he's just so pissed off at him for that. And, right or wrong, you know, whatever. That's how Ed felt, because it just, again, Ed was just like a studio rat. He was there all the time. And Mike was probably like, look, you're the fucking genius, man. I'll just come in. What do you need me to do? I'll do, you know? But that's what I was referring to in the older days. Ed was talking about that. And Ed wanted Mike out. He wanted Mike out for a long time, but he just got pissed off because he was getting a fourth of the royalties. And And
you mentioned Steve Rosen. There's a section of the book that's a fantastic book. There's a section of the book where Eddie flies over to his house in the middle of the summer before 5150 came out, and they're just hanging out doing some Krell. And he describes this amazing riff that Eddie is playing for him. He just drove his Lamborghini up onto his lawn. But basically, and he's playing this. So Steve is describing this epic riff, and before he really knows what it is, which it became 5150, right?
Wow,
he's playing for me in
cool.
his living room, right?
Oh, shit. That's cool, man. Yeah, where All he right. would come up with that stuff, Eddie, it's just, even he said, he's like, I don't know, man, it's coming through me from up top, you know?
To have the way.
Here we go.
All right. Is that higher than Dreams? Was that higher than Dreams?
Yeah, that is.
I think so, yeah.
He always points at Dreams, but I think that one's a lot higher.
Yeah.
That is higher. That's the highest I've ever heard him go.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Corey, can you play the live guitar solo, live without a net solo?
All right. Let's bring it in here. Everybody can see this, I hope.
Fucking unbelievable, this solo.
All right. Just
although I would put Summer Nights above it, but not by much. I love the Summer Nights solo.
That was face melting, right?
Yeah.
This is the part they're about to hit, a part that I wish was actually in the studio recording. This next little riff here, where they kind of, before they go into the turnaround, it's just such a cool little riff, and it's just so heavy. I wish that was actually the studio recording.
That's an Eneman Smile shirt that he's sticking down his junk. That's
David,
no.
Which album?
Yeah.
Which
album? That one there, perhaps?
Smile. Yep. That's the shirt. Yeah. That's why Sammy kind of has a look on his face like, all right, and stick it right down.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, but he always took the high road. He always took the high road.
And this is the point where it turns.
Sorry.
I'll be to
Dear God.
Goosebumps.
I am so jealous of Sammy's cardio.
Has anyone on the planet ever had more fun playing live music than Eddie fucking Van Halen? Like, did you see that smile? Jesus.
Yeah, as great and fun as it is to watch that, it makes you just, you miss that guy. So, you know, you miss him. It's like a family member that you lost, you know? You just, that smile.
Those pants.
And the stuff that he's playing while loaded and running around.
Yeah.
And loaded.
It's crazy.
So many good times, man, listening to that music and that particular live show, man, just watching that with my buddies, you know, just
unreal. But I take umbrage with this comment here. Somebody from the Paltrow cast said Sammy was the fourth best dancer in Van Halen. Have you seen the Hot for Teacher video? Have you seen Alex Van Halen in the Hot for Teacher video?
That's still better.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. Flag on the play.
Giant flag on the play.
Could we talk about the evolution of Sammy Hagar's live stage moves? Because he was charismatic and dancing then, but now he does this this wheels on the bus go round and round thing.
He's been doing that for a while, man.
He's bringing that back. You know, he's bringing it back. He's disco
era. That. And then he signs autographs mid like solo. Have you seen this? I'm not making this up.
Yeah,
I know. I believe it.
He has been doing that for a while.
Listen, Darren, there ain't nothing wrong with that because I personally have about four or five of those autographs that were signed mid-show. So
nice. There you go. Uh-oh. So.
And the stream is down for copyright violations. We played a little too much 5150 here.
Yeah, oh no.
Well, so all the folks in the chat are gonna they're gonna have to listen to the actual podcast to hear how we all vote. I guess it's about that time.
It is about that time. We got two for the price of one, and then all together three songs. Listen, it seemed like we were all having a good time, so I'm just going to count to three, and we're all going to either do a yay or nay, and then Corey, I think, will follow suit with the appropriate musical cue. So
we're back. We're back on the stream now, guys. So
we are.
Everyone is just in time for the vote. Yes,
we are.
Everyone.
So as I gave you the prompt there, everyone, 1, 2, 3, how we feeling?
Hell yeah.
Not quite, Scott. This is absolutely what dreams are made of.
Absolutely.
What did Scott just say? That wise ass. What did he just pull that back up?
He said, just so you know, everyone on the panel voted this song down and DLR wins.
I mean, look, he's instigating on Scott Haskin.
Oh, man, that's got to be, that's 15 yards and a game. He's ejected.
Can I give my only complaint about the 5150 song?
Oh, no. Here we go.
Steve
deals with this every week. He's got to put a damper on everything. All right, here we go.
When I'm alone, I'll sing along with stuff. Try singing along to any Sammy Hagar song. The vocals are too high. He was crafting the stuff not for karaoke or people to be able to sing along to if they're not professional singers.
I got to pull the flag. I got it.
Hey, assuming
interference,
but it's sure fun trying though, right?
Assuming he didn't redo the vocals on this in the studio. That's he hit the scream live, man. I mean, there's not enough adjectives for this song. I mean, it's fucking amazing.
But isn't this the point then? Darren, you may have served this up, and I'm going to try and knock this out of the park. Is that the difference between Sammy and Dave, is that Sammy was actually a professional singer?
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Oh, here we go. You're making me pull this thing. Oh,
here we go.
That is a fair common argument, but Dave was a soul singer in his crazy, deluded mind. So,
and vaudeville and blues,
and you know I'm just picking on you too, right?
Oh, of course. No, obviously Sammy was a technically better singer times 20, but you know, if talent equaled good, you know, the world would be a very different place. Sometimes it's about being concise.
I think one of my favorite little quotes from the Sam and Dave Heavyweights Rock tour in 2002. There was that little series of videos. I don't know if it was an MTV thing or whatever, but I can remember Dave making the comment. He said, "Sam brings the party, but I am the party."
Sam likes to party. I am the party.
I am the party. Yeah. that's it. Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest mysteries I've never been able to solve related to all that was somebody told me that Dave and Sam were filming a VH1 reality show, like an Osborne style reality show together in that era. And it didn't surface. And that's why the cameras were around. Has anyone else heard those rumors?
No. Yeah, I think you're right. Because there ended up being, I think there's two or three segments that are still on YouTube that are probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 minutes long each. And it's all from that time. So I would believe that to be true. Yeah.
I would, but I'd be shocked though, given how, you know, Dave's got to be in control and so guarded with anything that he doesn't want you to see. You know, the fact that it seems so out of nature, but given that time frame, maybe it seemed like a good idea until it wasn't.
I had tickets to see that show. It was like the third to last show in that tour at the amphitheater at Darien Lake, just outside of Buffalo. And it was one, like, I think the last three shows on that tour got canned because they just, I think, were beating each other up by that point. So I missed it, sadly.
Yeah. Scott is not a big Van Halen fan. He's asking, is there a version of DLR singing this song? The answer is no. David Lee Roth never touched Sammy stuff at all. But
this is not necessarily true. If we believe the Dave Whisperer from the Dave and Dave Unchained podcast, there may be demos of it.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy.
Quick story. Sorry, Darren. Sorry.
Yeah, I hate to be the contrarian, but that's yet another mystery. We still don't know who that person was who said that, but it's not as black and white that he left after 1984. It sounds like he was demoing stuff with Van Halen at that time, and he just didn't like the new material.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, I've read that. I think Good Enough was around before. Well, Dave was still in the band, apparently, right?
Summer Nights and Good Enough.
Well, given how much Eddie would mine the vaults continuously, you know, I mean, he was putting out, like we were talking about earlier, the output was insane, right? So, I mean, it's conceivable, could be half Dave's on stuff that, you know, could have surfaced much later with Sammy.
In the Midnight Hour,
bits and pieces.
That's finished. The cover of In the Midnight Hour is finished. Done. It was the first song recorded at 5150. Jump was two. And that's still, we've never heard it, not even a piece of it.
Interesting. Now, in
the Steve Rosen book, I think when he's when Eddie shows up at his house and is playing him that riff in his living room, I can't remember the dates, I could be wrong, but I think it's in a time frame where Roth was still in the band or things were turbulent and about to break up, but I think he had that riff.
Wow, okay.
It's a track, but I think it is.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive, man. In the day, in you know, an era of the internet and leaks, and you know, just such transparency and shit everywhere that nothing leaks out of it. Virtually nothing leaks out of 5150. I mean, the fucking National Archives should talk to these guys about keeping shit secret because, I mean,
the Supreme Court couldn't even keep a thing secret.
Exactly. I mean, it's in the fucking vault, man. That's just not a saying. It is.
AC/DC are like that. AC/DC the same way. Like Brian Johnson was on Eddie Trunk, and Eddie was like, so what's up? You guys gonna do maybe a tour? What's going on? And Brian Johnson was like afraid. He's like, I can't answer that. I'm told I can't say anything. Like he's like a hired employee.
He's got a mind or a very short Australian person that next, you know, right, just off camera there. Right. A young cousin no one's ever seen before.
He was like nervous about it. I mean, Brian Johnson seems like such a cool guy, but right? You can just see that he's just like told you do not say. He goes, I was told I can't say anything, mate. I can't say anything. He's like, you're getting into, what did he say? He goes, you're getting into the inquiry. No, what did he say? Use the word. What's the woman who does all those hardcore interviews?
Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters.
Not her, but another one.
She didn't make it.
Wendy Williams?
No, the one who just interviewed Matthew Perry.
Wendy Williams. Wendy
Williams. Kathy Lee Gifford?
No.
Snoop Dogg?
Hoda Kotb.
Chelsea Handler?
No, I can't remember now. So Diane Sawyer. Yeah, he's like, Eddie. You're getting a little Diane Sawyer on me.
So Gary's saying that deluxe edition remasters with bonus tracks are in order. And I think we all agree on that. Yeah.
There are things happening.
Yeah.
People are working on stuff. It's just, I don't know if they're just waiting for the Brinks truck to be backed up, if you know what I mean. Mm.
Does everybody know one of Darren's side gigs? This man finds shit out.
He's a private
speculation.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Kehoe was. He was the one who was working on. Was it 07, Darren, around there? Maybe when Dave came back?
I thought it was 04.
Oh, okay.
And they were doing the Hagar tour, so that was one of the reasons that they silenced it. But I heard recently that they were working on stuff, and it is related to Alex being cited at the mastering studio.
With Landy.
With Wendy Williams?
Don Landy.
Don Landy.
With O.J. Simpson. He was there. Hang on. No, with Don Landy. There was a picture, I believe. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember, but it was something that kind of got the speculations going.
My read on all this is that there is an inner circle and they have everything. And like, I'll give you an example of this. You know that band Steel Panther, how a few of them were in the Atomic Punks before mm-hmm. Steel Panther took off? And if you look on YouTube from the early 2000s, there's members of Steel Panther as the Atomic Punks recording the song Bullet Head, which wouldn't come out for 10 years. So I think just people have stuff, but they know to keep their mouth shut because they don't want to burn the bridge. So people are working on stuff now.
Jason Newsted should take a page out of that playbook.
This is Brian Key, who I remember reaching out to him for comment in, where is this, November of 2020. So he said, in the vaults, where is it? Okay, he's saying there's some songs in there, including Bring On the Girls, which later became Beautiful Girls. He said there's a different recording of Little Dreamer.
He said there was a Hot for Teacher with a bass riff
right.
thing.
Yes, that Eddie's doing both bass and guitar. He says Bill Inglot, engineer and producer, and I have done many, many projects for Warner Brothers together. He as a producer, I was engineer. We could not find original mixtapes for the demos, but the multi-track tapes still existed so we could mix from that. What else did he say in here? Not knowing what the original intent or sound of these demos was supposed to be, we went for the sound of the original first album. That's the same team, same rooms, many of the same songs. Of the material we found that was the strongest, some songs known today like Running with the Devil or On Fire, some that came out later in modified or rewritten form like Voodoo Queen becoming Mean Streets, but some have never been re-recorded or re-released. He says it's probably fair to say those songs weren't as strong, but for anyone today, even to hear a different version of a classic song or an unheard version of a never released one, that's fair to hear. It's blah, 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 blah. That's pretty. Yeah, the Hot for Teacher thing, different intro.
You know, Someday this stuff will come out. I mean, I'm hoping I'm not collecting Social Security by then, but yeah. It will come out, and it's going to be excellently. I really believe this. I think it's going to be excellently curated. It's going to be kind of akin to, you know, when the Hendrix family took over the estate, Janie Hendrix, and they got all the rights back and shit in like the late 90s, early aughts started coming out, and it was amazing. BBC sessions stuff, you know, alternate, all this other stuff. And I, you know, fingers crossed, right?
We'll see. The Sammy era, the problem is the Sammy era is just being completely ignored.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I think everybody would like to see is some remasters on 5150, No You Ain't One Too. Boys, we've been on the air here for 3 hours and 20 minutes. you got like time for like 10 quick fire questions from one Eric Senich.
Oh, who wanted to trivia?
Yeah, he wanted to do a little bit of trivia here tonight. So if you boys are up for it, Mark and I will be the judge. Eric's going to ask a trivia question to buzz in. Just say the name of your preferred lead singer. So Bogus Otis, you guys will be saying Sammy. DLR guys, you'll be saying Dave. Anytime you're ready, Mr. Senich.
Yeah, let's see. I can pick pick a series of them. We can go with a balance of like Dave Era and Sammy Era if you want to do that. Hang on a sec. Let me find a good one here.
Just talk amongst yourselves. Okay, we're ready.
Talk amongst yourself. I'm just looking over. I want to find a good one. Okay, here we go. You ready? Number one. Let's see. There's a total of, I think, 10 here. Yeah. Number one. When Van Halen was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in March of 2007, what band or artist gave the induction speech?
Sammy. That was Velvet Revolver.
Okay, Velvet Revolver. All right. Anybody else want to give a different guess or no?
Wait, Velvet Revolver played, but they didn't give the speech, did they?
I was reading about this recently.
They performed, and then Paul Schaefer and his band did with Sammy and Mike.
All right. Some of these are going to be easy. Who's the bass player for Van Halen beginning in 2006? This is from a website, funtrivia.com. Ooh. All right, we're going to skip past that one. Singer David Lee Roth's father was what type of professional? Lawyer, doctor, dentist, or accountant?
Ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just put doctor.
Ophthalmologist.
An ophthalmologist, correct.
Yep. Nathan.
Mark, you keeping score?
Yeah, I'm keeping score.
This is what was the first city that Van Halen played live outside of California?
Ooh, man.
This is a good one.
Where was Texas Jam?
No, it was before that.
This would be the opening for Black Sabbath.
I'll give you four choices: Vegas, Kansas City, Philly, or Chicago.
I'm gonna go Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
On the Journey tour.
Yep, you're right. That was the name of the venue there.
Shane Call.
Yeah. Aragon Ballroom. Aragon Ballroom.
I called it the Aragon?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's a good one. All right, what was the only song that Van Halen's father, Jan, played on?
Darren. Big Bad Billy Sweet William Knapp.
Correct.
Good job.
Eddie Van Halen met his future wife, Valerie Bertinelli, in which city? Lincoln, Nebraska, Los Angeles, California, Shreveport, Louisiana, or Denver, Colorado?
100% Shreveport.
Shreveport.
Yeah.
Correct. Michael Anthony played which instrument in his high school marching band? Clarinet, trumpet, drums, or trombone?
That's clarinet.
Okay. Clarinet. Yeah. That is correct. Alex Van Halen played which instrument on the movie soundtrack? Twister. Guitar, violin, drums, keyboards.
Keyboards.
I thought violin.
He played the keyboards. He's on the...
Respect the Wind.
Respect the Wind.
Oh,
yeah. What song was Van Halen's first number one hit on the Billboard singles chart? We know that one. That's Jump. Yep. That's an easy one. That stinks. All right, here we go. Who played the teacher in the Van Halen video, Hot for Teacher? Was it... Bass Jordan, Donna Rupert, Nancy Grossi, or Valerie Bertinelli?
Wait, what was the first one? Did you say Sass Jordan?
Sass Jordan.
Sass Jordan. Yeah. I'm a huge
fan. All the Canadians are smiling here.
I'm a big Sass Jordan fan.
Somebody made this.
She would have been 10 years old.
Yeah, it's
that Grossi name sounds familiar.
You want to try Danny Grossi? Or Nancy Grossi, I mean?
Nancy Grossi, yeah.
It's... just make sure. I believe I know Donna Rupert. Yeah. Yep. Who is the voice of Waldo?
Dave.
Oh, that's Phil Hartman.
Yeah, good call.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah.
I think really? I think that's 9. Right? Mark, are you keeping
Phil Hartman? Well, two of those didn't get
We threw out two of them, so let me come up with two more.
Well, a couple of those, there was no definitive winner. You just moved on. So right now I have Bogus Otis at 4-3 for DLR.
Okay, so we'll come up with three more. Let's come up with three more. All right, folks.
I have a tiebreaker because I have how many times they performed 5150 live. So if you need that I have it.
Oh, God, yeah. Here we go. Now let's go back to 5150. Let's see. Nah, these are too easy. Fuck that. Eight Political Blues appears on which album?
Oh, you want to?
Yep.
Okay.
That's eight. Number nine of the following, which album had the fewest singles released in the U.S.? Women and Children First, Diver Down, Fair Warning, or 5150?
5150.
The fewest singles?
The fewest, yeah, here it is again. The fewest, oh, I lost my place here. Yeah, which of the following albums, which had the fewest singles released in the U.S.? And then the choices were Women and Children, Van Halen 1, Diver Down. Sorry. Women and Children First, Diver Down, Fair Warning, and 5150. Those are the choices.
I would say Fair Warning, but I'm not playing.
Let's say Women and Children First.
Women and Children for the Sammy boys. And
I was going to say you disagree, Brent.
There's no music videos.
I was going to say Fair Warning.
It's Women and Children First. Diver Down had the most at five. Women and Children only had a one track released as a single, In the Cradle Will Rock. All right, let's finish with a good one.
No music video, so I'm going to put an asterisk on that question.
Yeah.
We already have a winner. If this is the last question, we already have a winner.
Oh, we do already have a winner?
Yep.
The last one's worth 5 points.
One more in? Okay.
Yeah. 5 points to the last.
All right, let's see. Between 1978 and 1995, Van Halen has released four guitar instrumentals on four different albums. What was the last of the guitar instrumentals released by the band during that time span? I can give you the four choices, or do you want to try and guess? Just like strictly like guitar instrumentals. I mean, it's kind of...
Maybe give the date range again.
So bad with song titles.
It's 78 to 95.
Which was the last one?
78 to 95. Balance would be the last one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, this person who made this, I think, got it wrong. Because their choices are Little Guitars, Spanish Fly, 316, and Eruption. But they're missing one.
And it'd be 316.
Yeah, out of those four, 316.
316 is the answer they give. But what about Balance Urethralium from Balance?
But that's kind of like a full band.
It had drums on it too. Yeah.
But so does Eruption, and they had Eruption as well.
Yeah, true. No, it's true.
But no, I get it. It's just like strictly Eddie. So that's 316 is Van Halen's first guitar instrumental is Eruption, second Spanish Fly, third Little Guitars, and then fourth is 316, named after Eddie's son, Wolfie, from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. There you go. Who won? Who's the winner?
did nobody get that last question right?
We all win.
We all won.
I think somebody guessed 316.
Based on that, both of those show guys won.
All right. Yeah, Darren did guess 316.
Oh, well then, there you go. DLR wins.
We all lose. How about that?
We're all winners here, folks.
We're all promoting a band that doesn't care about us. We all
we actually all win because we spun great songs. The ref didn't have to get too involved in throwing flags and except not for here bad. And there. It's fine. We didn't come to blows. We all came together, which was the intent the whole time. Fooled you all. It wasn't going to be a brawl whatsoever because we're here to celebrate a band, not argue about it. Doesn't matter who's singing. So there it is, you guys. We did another live show with a whole cavalcade of panelists. Thank you all so much for being here. Let's see, from the DLR cast, you guys, please, thank you once again for being on the show. Please let the people know where they can find the show and what you got going on.
I am at Paltrowitz on a lot of different social media things. We're at the DLR cast on Twitter. Steve, are you still in hiding in witness protection?
More or less. But of course, the DLR cast is available on all your favorite podcast providers. And we're on Twitter as well at the DLR cast. So
there you go. All right. Thank you once again. And from the Bogus Otis show, Brent, Darren, please let the people know what you guys got going on, where they can find you guys.
You can get us all over the place, Spotify, Apple Music, here, there, and everywhere. And check us out on Instagram and Facebook at The Bogus Otis Show.
Right on. Representing, respectively, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar of their respected eras. And look how civil we were. Isn't that great? That's what we do here at And the Podcast Will Rock. We bring people together in a civil way to celebrate. Our very humble and knowledgeable referee of the night, Eric Sinich, thank you, sir, for being here. Please let the people know where they can find you and everything you got going on.
Yeah, as always, a pleasure, and thanks for having me again. And you can find me on Booked on Rock primarily every week. We got an episode up. BookedOnRock.com is the website, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm actually trying to do TikTok. I just started making videos of like clips from each episode and putting those up. So having some fun with that. So BookedOnRock.com, B-O-O-K-E-D, onrock.com. And VHND, man, we're always trying to keep people up to date on what's happening in the world of Van Halen.
Well, in that regard, you're doing the Lord's work, and we appreciate it.
thank you
yeah.
And rest in peace, Eddie.
Absolutely. Yes. rip indeed. Thank you to the audience. If you tuned in live, awesome. You guys have been very, very responsive and very very active. We appreciate you. Take a drink. If you're listening not live, thanks anyway. Thank you for listening regardless, because that's what it's all about, right? Corey, where can the people find you, and where can they locate the show and all the fun stuff we've got connected to it?
They could find me sleeping for the next 3 days, because these live shows are a lot of work, damn it, and I don't get enough appreciation. But I want to thank, again, everybody in the chat for joining in, Chaz, Tom, Kevin, Scott, are all our good friends. We had about 20 people at any one time watching the show here tonight, so thank you for sticking with us. You can find the show at www.podcastlrock. You can see them all on the bottom of the screen there. We're on Instagram, we're on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook now, which Mark is running. You can find me at CD Morset. You can find Mark at Mark the Bat. And you can find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Go seek them out. There's a ton of great shows. I won't go through them all here tonight because we've had a very late night. But thank you all. And please, if you only take away one thing from tonight, please go support the Bogus Otis Show, and the DLR cast and Booked on Rock. All are fantastic podcasts. I can't believe you guys are slumming it here tonight to associate with Mark and myself. We really appreciate it having you guys on. And I'd love to have you back on again sometime before we wrap this up. And what, about 58 songs? We're done, Mark.
Wow, 58 songs. Seems so short, and yet it'll still be a journey. I assure you it'll be a journey, because it's already been a journey. We're not stopping the train anytime soon. We're going to keep on moving. That's what they would want. That's what we want. And we hope that's what you guys want. So thank you again for joining us. We are And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.